Okay, even though Sunday and Monday are Shavuos, this coming Shabbos we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Bamidbar. What an exciting Parshas Bamidbar is. And we begin Bamidbar Sinai, in the Midbar of Sinai, and Sefer Bamidbar deals with the life of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. So we tend to think of this experience as a bidyeved. We didn't belong in the Midbar. It's a punishment for the Cheid HaMeraglim. And if not for that, it would have been a very, very short experience. So the Meshech Chachma offers us a different perspective. And he says that the 40 years in the Midbar were a preparation for Eretz Yisrael. And that generation needed a spiritual infusion before they can live a life of Torah while dealing with the challenges of living a life al derech hateva naturally. And that is the point of the Midbar Sinai. This idea has been carried on and stressed even further by Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as understanding of how the Meraglim could have happened. He says they didn't really believe that their people were going to be ready to handle life in the Eretz Yisrael. And this is one of the issues, and of course the Cheid HaMeraglim plays a big role in the centerpiece of the book of Bamidbar. We're told at the beginning of the Midbar, the Sefer, there were going to be Nesiim, Ish Ish Lamateh, each man was going to be a leader of his Shevet. Now why does the Torah seem to imply that the installation of the tribal leaders only took place at this time? The truth is, they had been serving until previously for 7 months. After all, we know that in the process of going ahead and establishing the Mishkan, these are the people who were in charge within the process. They had to go ahead, they had to make contributions. We know that they brought the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Miluim, La'ifod V'la'choshen. So the Netziv explains that until this point, the tribal heads were decided on by each Shevet. They weren't chosen by Hashem. And it was in this capacity that they contributed to the construction and dedication of the Mishkan. In Parshas Bamidbar, however, this all appeared ripe for change, because Hashem said he would declare a leader. And this may have caused anxiety among the Nesiim, who would lose their jobs, and the people who may see their desired Nasi replaced. And to their surprise, each of the 12 Nesiim that Hashem announced were the exact same ones that the people had chosen on their own. We learn an important lesson here, that we have a natural ability to select correct leaders if we want to. Unfortunately, sometimes we're not that good. We're told, Ish al Machaneu v'Ish al Diglo, that each of the people were going to be established under his banner. Now, why did it take a whole year for Hashem to assign the Golem for these banners or flags for Bnei Yisrael? Why didn't they do so immediately when they left Mitzrayim? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, suggests that the Golem represent the diversity of Klal Yisrael, that each Shevet has its own unique traits, and so this has the potential to cause people from different Shvatim to grow way, way apart from one another. So as such, Hashem had to wait until there was a Mishkan set up. The Mishkan, on the other hand, serves as the hub to unify all of Klal Yisrael, while each of the flags highlights the diversity that contributes to the unity. Ish al Diglo be'osos, we're told each person will come according to his flag. And you know, the Dor HaMidbar led a miraculous life. Things were fairly simple, and yet the Torah had such rigorous instructions for how they were supposed to move through the desert. Why was it so important to spend that much time? So Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says the reason for the Degolim is to teach future generations that having organization is key to life. It's very, very important to establish that way. Finally, we're told towards the end of the parsha, Kiliko b'chor b'yom ha'kosi ko b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, that all the b'chorim belong to Hashem. And the Torah tells us that the sanctity of the b'chor is so special since Hashem saved the b'chorim in Mitzrayim. However, what about the b'chor born in the Midbar? What do we do? Why is he uniquely Kadosh? What's special about him? He wasn't sanctified at the time of Makas Bechoros. So the late great Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva Rav Elia Svezatzal explained that when a Bechor is born, he's born with the ability to understand more, and so hence more is expected of him. The Bechor relates to the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim better than the other children, because he can relate to the unique situation that he would have been in as a Bechor in Mitzrayim. So even if he wasn't there, the fact that he could have been there, that was enough. And so hence he can sense Hashem's chesed better, which in turn brings him more Kedusha, and creates an opportunity for the mitzvah for the Pidyon HaBen. In other words, more awareness means more responsibility, according to the way Rav Elia Sve understands the idea. We're told, Mishpachos b'nei kahas yachanu al yerach ha-mishkan teimana, that the families of b'nei kahat are supposed to go ahead and camp on the side. And the Medrash on our parasha comments on the proximity of Kahas to Shevet Reuven by teaching us the idea of Oy l'Rasha, Oy l'Shcheino. Now, how could it be that by following Hashem's order of where to camp, it can result in an oy, a woe unto the Rasha, and a oil lishcheno, and also in the it works out being bad for the members of their tribe. If you remember, when Korach came around, Dasan and Aviron and Korach all joined together, they were all sitting next to each other. But if Hashem tells you to buy a certain house, implicitly expressing that this is the best place for you, don't you assume that he's setting you up? You're not supposed to assume that Hashem is setting you up for tragedy. So Rav Avigdor Nevenzahl Shalita suggests that even if Hashgacha seems to have placed us somewhere, we must never let our guard down from negative influences in the environment. We may never become apathetic, indifferent, or unaware of the harmful pressures that constantly lurk, no matter where we find ourselves. God never gave Reuven a license to stop thinking, to seek being cautious, and to act judiciously, and God therefore is not to blame for Reuven's losses in the episode of Korach. Reuven is to blame for not being vigilant and not allowing a toxic neighbor to influence him. Reuven should have been aware that his environment could impact him, and so therefore, when he does, oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheino. We're also told, Al tachrisu es shevet mishpachos ha-kahasi, don't cut off the shevet of kahas. Hashem tells Moshe we shouldn't allow the kasim to be cut off. And the Medrash explains that the kasim all wanted to carry the aron and not the rest of the kelim. And this wasn't only a bizayon to those kelim, it caused fighting. So Rav Pam Zatzal quotes the Ramchal that sometimes it looks like we're performing a mitzvah, but because we don't think about the consequences, we're actually performing an avera, and that's not a good thing for us. And we have a responsibility to live in a good Jewish way by doing good things. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, Ve'erastech li li'olam, that I'll be betrothed to thee forever. Then why would we want to remain betrothed to God forever? Isn't it better to move past the Erusin to Nisuin? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter Shlita quotes the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Nindalat Amud Aleph that quotes that the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem fluctuates between an Erusin and a Nisuin. We move from Erusin to Nisuin, and at times, unfortunately, we move back to Erusin, something that human beings can't do in their own marriages. And so when we are cursed, sometimes by Hosea, that we are not only being cursed to always remain Erusin, the Jewish people have and fully will be Erastech Liliolam, that will always be married to God. And what we're told is, we'll never be less than Arusos, even when it looks like we are not even deserving, that it looks like we're getting a safer Krisus again. You need to understand that Hashem doesn't have the ability to say, get out of here. So Rav Rivlin takes a different approach. Rav Rivlin, the Shalita, the former Mashgiach in Keren Biavne, he suggests that it's not that we will never reach the stage of Nisuin, but that we always must maintain the excitement of Erusin. And Hashem promises us that His relationship with us will never grow stale. We are living in such exciting times. Once upon a time, we were in that state of life where Bnei Yisrael, at their stage, were Erastech Li'olam, and they moved up to Nisuin. And Be'ezus Hashem, at the time of Kabbalah Torah, we should be able to go ahead and get there again to the opposite, where we will be Nisuin to Hashem forevermore, and hopefully we'll get there very soon. Shabbat Shalom to all, and a wonderful, terrific Chag Sameach.